As anyone who's a fan of crime shows like CSI knows, a bloodied footprint at the crime scene can be key to cracking the case. But behind the forensic science is a person, and people can make mistakes. My next guest has helped head up two studies into whether artificial intelligence could be trained to make more accurate determinations. The first into whether a footprint was from a man or woman, and the second into the make and model of footwear. Michael Bennett is a professor of environmental and geographical sciences at Bournemouth University and joins me now to explain the results. Hi, Professor Bennett.
Hello, it's Matthew Bennett, but it's great. It's nice to be with you.
Oh, sorry, Matt. That's a bad start, isn't it? Matthew, first of all, can you give us an idea of how important footprints or shoe prints are when it comes to a crime scene? We know what we see on TV. Is that the real deal?
Yeah, they are one of the most frequent types of trace evidence left at crime scenes, whether they're barefoot or shoe prints. They're really frequent at sites. You only have to think about how many steps you leave in an average day. 10,000 is what you're supposed to do. That's 10,000 traces that you're leaving behind. So there's an awful lot of these types of traces at crime scenes. So they're very important.
Which means that it's crucial to have the best possible information extracted from the owner of them.
Yes, I mean, footwear and footprint data are slightly neglected in a forensic context because there are more sophisticated and glamorous traces, DNA and similar sorts of techniques. But it's one of the staples that you can go back to. And there's been not a huge amount of research over the last few years in bringing footwear and foot trace evidence forward. But they are really very important.
Now, I hadn't thought about this before reading into this story. There are bare footprints and there are shoe prints. And I guess I'm mainly used to shoe prints, but from a bare footprint, is that perhaps in some ways more useful?
It can be. They both have their different sorts of uses. But as you walk around your home, you'll be leaving bare footprints or in your socks. You'll be walking around. And you'll be leaving traces. And those bare footprints can be preserved in your carpet. They can be preserved when there's residue on your feet. There's lots of ways that these traces get left.
So what more information can we get then from a shoe print? Because I think I've lost count of how many TV shows where the culprit was caught because it was a very distinctive shoe.
Yeah. I mean, the shoes are slightly more anonymous in some ways because, you know, there are a large number, a popular brand of trainer or shoe. There are a huge number of those out there in the market, sold and used. They do get individualizing characteristics over time, the way you walk, wear down the tread in different ways. So they are very valuable. But the real point about all of this is that it's not about directly getting a piece of evidence that you can take to court. The real power of these sorts of evidence is in intelligence-led policing, helping an investigation to ask the right question at the right time. Can you link crimes? For example, if there are several incidents in parks or car parks that have a certain reputation, can you find the same sorts of footwear traces at those parks? Can you link those crimes? And that's the way that the footwear evidence, particularly shod footwear, can really help you. It's to guide an investigation. It's the intelligence-led policing where the real power comes in.
I was reading that most forensic practitioners working on, say, judicial evidence would refrain from determining the gender of a footprint. Why is that?
They don't want to necessarily bias an investigation. It's an interesting question, because we posed exactly that question to a range of experts, and they said we would do it if we had a reliable tool in order to make a safe assessment. But they don't have those tools at the moment, which is one of the rationales for the work that we have been doing with Bare Feet.
Well, let's then have a look at how artificial intelligence is being trained. Can you talk us through how the training process for it to recognise and analyse footprints? What's gone into that?
So this piece of artificial intelligence is ultimately a piece of computer code. And most models are pre-trained to recognise images. So they're trained on anything, on millions and millions of images, just to recognise different shapes and forms and textures within an image. And then you take those pre-trained models and you give them some very specific information, in this case, the shape and the form and the texture of bare feet. And it begins to see elements in the image that it can recognize as being male or female or of a certain age. Because one of the surprising things of the model is that it can also determine in the age to within a decade of the footprint track maker.
I've read that there's only a small number, maybe 30 footwear experts in the United Kingdom, but they are very good at what they do. So with the kind of research, these two studies you've been involved with, what advantage could artificial intelligence have over these people who have dedicated, I assume, a big part of their life to researching footwear?
Well, there are two groups of people, really. There are the dedicated experts that, as you say, have spent decades learning their trade, and they're brilliant. They absolutely know and can recognise different makes, models of shoes and really know what they're about. But there are an awful lot of people that are occasional users that will come across a footprint in a crime and it be important. And it's the occasional users that can be really aided by artificial intelligence, because it can save time, it can do the routine, and then it can say, well, you know, oh, I'm not so sure about this one, and refer it on to the expert. And the savings of time are the really important thing, to actually make sure that the experts are focused on the difficult or the ambiguous, and that the more routine work can be done through an automated system.
Do you think that artificial intelligence ultimately will replace real people in this kind of analysis?
No, not at all. But there's a nice phrase that basically says that the expert using artificial intelligence as an aid will probably replace the expert who doesn't use artificial intelligence as an aid.
So let's just to wind this back, a very simple story, really. When you see a simple footprint, when you look at something like this, what features stick out for you? What instantly would you look for?
I look for the shape and the form, particularly around the heel, because the shape and the width and the size of the heel can really tell you an awful lot of information. So, but that's because I know what to look for. And it's those sorts of things that the expert focuses on and tell an awful lot about the way in which feet, modern feet, are mangled and damaged by the shoes that people wear. And they can tell you an awful lot of information as well. So it's those sorts of things that I see as an expert. It's hard to know what the computer, what the artificial intelligence sees, because you can't actually ask it. But we can produce certain types of output that allows it to identify hotspots where little areas of pixel patterns are crucial to the decisions that it's making.
Thank you so much. Talking to Professor Matthew Bennett,